Many people assume that the hardest part of learning Chinese must be the characters or the tones, but it turns out that most learners struggle more with listening comprehension. Why is that, and what can you do about it? Hello, and welcome to the Hacking Chinese podcast. In this week's episode, we are going to explore why listening comprehension in Chinese is difficult. And as I hinted at in the introduction, I did a survey a while back where I asked students what area of Chinese they found the most challenging. And surprisingly, listening came on top, not speaking, reading, or writing. I wasn't terribly surprised though, because while characters are difficult to learn, they're difficult in the sense that walking 1,000 miles is difficult, so that means there are a lot of steps, but each step is not necessarily very hard, unless it's your first few steps when you start learning characters, because that can be quite challenging. When it comes to tones, they can also be difficult to learn initially, but it's not that hard to get to a level where you can communicate even if you have occasional mistakes. You will still be able to communicate. Tones are challenging in two ways though, not just that you have to say them, but you also have to be able to understand them when other people speak, and so this is what we're going to talk about today. So tones being difficult plays into why listening in Chinese is hard, and it's only one of many reasons that I will talk about in this episode. This is part of my series Beyond Tingbodong, where we're not just happy stating we don't understand something, but we want to explore and learn more and see why is it that we don't understand and what can we do about it. In this case, this involves discussing why listening comprehension in Chinese is so difficult, and I want to point out at the start here that the idea here is not to complain or to whine about something being hard. Instead, it's about analyzing something, understanding how it works, and then using that to our advantage. And that, I think, is very close to the definition of language hacking. Understand something, use it to your advantage. If you want to learn more, learn faster, learn more efficiently, or what have you. I also think it's important to recognize that some things are difficult, and if you as a student feel that Chinese words sound the same, people speak too quickly, it's too hard to distinguish the sounds and so on, these are all real factors that make listening comprehension in Mandarin more difficult than in many other languages. And in this episode then, I will explain why this is the case. If you're interested in listening comprehension, this is part 6 in this series, which means there are 5 earlier episodes you can listen to as well. I'm also in the process of building a new course focusing on listening comprehension and how you can improve it. And if you're interested in that, you can go to hackingchinese.com/courses, although the course is not ready yet. So let's discuss why listening comprehension in Chinese is so hard. I've sorted the discussion into several parts, and first then we're going to talk about why listening is hard in general, because listening comprehension in any foreign language is tricky. Then we're going to get into details and see why Chinese in particular is hard. And I don't necessarily mean harder than any other language, but I mean harder than most other languages you might have studied, such as Spanish, French, or maybe Swedish. I will discuss 7 different factors, and they are 1. Lack of familiar sounding words. 2. Too many similar sounding words. 3. Tones pose an extra challenge. 4. Mandarin has short words heavy in meaning. 5. Relying on context is necessary but hard. 6. Formal Chinese is concise and dense. 7. Dialects and accents add complexity. If you've listened to the previous parts in this series, you will not be surprised when I say that listening comprehension is difficult in a foreign language, simply because there are so many things we need to do at once, and we also need to do them very quickly. To recap briefly, to understand spoken Mandarin, we must extract information from the language we hear. And that means we need to convert sound waves to speech sounds, segment connected speech into words, link them to meaning, and combine these smaller pieces into phrases and sentences, and then synthesize some kind of understanding based on all this. And this part is called bottom-up processing. We start from the smallest things, the sounds, and we build up to an understanding of what someone is saying. This is not all we need to do though, we also need to rely on things we already know to make sense of what we hear. So to interpret spoken language, we need to draw on what we know, not just about the language, but also about the world, the situation we are in when we're listening, what was said previously, and so on. We also need to use different strategies to draw conclusions or test our hypotheses or revise them if it turns out we are wrong about something. And all this is called top-down processing, so we start from the highest level, things we already know and understand, and we use that to process the smaller parts, so the sounds, words, and so on. The thing that makes listening comprehension so difficult is that we need to do this very fast. I mean, if you think about it, when somebody speaks in Mandarin or any other language, the words come at you at a rapid pace and you need to do all these things instantly. And a slight delay might mean you don't understand anything. And so automating all these processes as far as possible is crucial. And that is also why exposure and experience is so important. To add insult to injury, we often lack control when we are listening, so we can't just pause someone who's speaking to us, and sure, if we're in a conversation with someone we know, we can ask them to slow down or say things again, but generally speaking, we don't control what words they use, what grammar patterns they say, and so on, compared to when we speak ourselves, we can stick to things we know, we can use grammar patterns we have studied, or indeed we're limited by these. But other people are not, and they don't know which words we have learned, so even if they wanted to adapt to us, they can't. So far, everything I've said is true for any language, not just Chinese. It's even true for your native language, it's just that you've practiced that so much since you were in the womb that you don't think of it as being difficult. But that's just because the processes are so automated that you rarely think about them. Now then, let's turn to things that are specific for Chinese. And I don't mean to say that these factors only apply to Chinese among all the world's languages. Clearly that is not true. But they are factors that make listening in Chinese different from many other languages you might have learned, such as Spanish, French, or maybe English, if that's not your native language. Naturally, when it comes to languages, difficulty is almost always relative. It depends on what you know and what you're trying to learn. So if your native language is French and you're trying to learn Spanish, that's going to be much easier than learning Chinese. And if a Chinese person is trying to learn Spanish, they will have a harder time than you have. This brings us to factor number one, which is a lack of familiar sounding words. I think the main reason why listening comprehension in Mandarin is challenging, and this is especially true if you're a beginner, is that there is almost zero overlap between Chinese and, say, English. This is a fact which is very hard to appreciate if you've never learned language outside your language family, because you think that, okay, French is also a foreign language, and so is Spanish, Swedish, German, and so on. But there's so much overlap between these languages in terms of vocabulary and sometimes also grammar, that it's not really starting from scratch when you're learning these languages. You have a lot to rely on already, which makes listening comprehension easier. I think I've mentioned this example before on the podcast, but I'm listening to a lot of French these days to try to build my listening comprehension in that language, and one of the podcasts I listen to is called Français avec fluidité, and he also includes some Spanish because he has lots of Spanish speakers in the audience. Let's listen to something he says at the beginning of some episodes.
Si ustedes son principiantes de francés, hagan clic en el link de YouTube del episodio, en la descripción de Spotify y activen los subtítulos en español para escuchar mientras que leen para comprender todo.
So I've never studied a word of Spanish, but I still understand what that sentence means. Naturally, I wouldn't be able to say it myself, and there are lots of grammar words here I have no idea what they mean, but the general gist here is understandable without having studied Spanish. Now, if we took this sentence and translated it into Chinese and had me listen to this before I started learning Chinese, I wouldn't have understood anything at all. Sure, if the brand names were in English, which happens to be the case for YouTube and Spotify because, well, they aren't used in China, but if we imagine there were some other channels or other companies that exist in China and have Chinese names, I would literally have understood nothing, not a single word. The challenge of learning a completely unrelated language is hard to overestimate, but it's maybe not so obvious why this is the case. But one way of looking at it is to say that we learn things by being able to associate language form with meaning. So in this case, it's sounds that we hear, and we associate those with some kind of meaning, and we understand what someone says, and gradually we get better at this. And the more we understand, the more likely we are to figure out things we didn't understand the first time, and then gradually then we can improve. The problem with listening to authentic Chinese is that since there is no overlap in vocabulary, you will not be able to make these form-meaning connections, and so you won't learn anything. Compare this with learning a language similar to your native language. So for example, if I moved to Germany tomorrow and started interacting with people, I'm quite confident that I could learn fluent German in a year simply by interacting, speaking, and listening. And I know this because I watched the reverse happen maybe a dozen times, with the German people moving to Sweden and after a year or sometimes even 6 months, they speak and understand the language quite well. I don't mean to say that this is free. You still need to invest a lot of time and effort, and you really need to engage with the language. I mean, German people can isolate themselves in Sweden too, and then they won't learn much either. But this is certainly easier to do if you live in China, because the threshold you need to reach before you start understanding what people around you say is much higher. So let's move on to number two. Too many similar sounding words. Everything sounds the same. I remember when I started learning Mandarin, and the vocabulary we had to learn simply sounded the same, or at least very similar in many cases. I thought this was just a matter of experience, that I simply hadn't heard these sounds enough, and that they would become more different as I learned more. This is of course true, but only up to a point. Yes, beginners will perceive distinct sounds as being similar if they are not experienced with these sounds and don't know how to distinguish them, but it is also the case that Mandarin words really do sound more similar than words in, say, English. So why is that? Well, one reason is that the syllable structure is rather limited, so there aren't that many possible syllables. This is not something you realize immediately as a beginner, but once you've learned Chinese for a while, you will actually be surprised when you encounter a new syllable, because there aren't that many syllables in total, and you don't need to have studied for that long before you've encountered almost all the important and common ones. Compare this with learning English, French, or Swedish as a second language, and then trying to keep track of syllables you've encountered is a bit ludicrous, because there are so many syllables that this doesn't make sense. The best way to see syllable structure in Mandarin is simply to look at a pinyin chart, and you will notice that there aren't that many entries in total, and this is mainly because the finals are extremely limited in how they can end, and syllables that end in anything but a vowel are very rare, and we only have three finals that do that, so it's N, NG, and R. Another important reason is that we don't have consonant clusters in Mandarin, so a word like strengths in English contains three consonants at the start, then one vowel, and then three consonant sounds at the end, and this is one syllable. So when you look at a pinyin chart, this is the reason why there aren't that many syllables there. If you count, you will find roughly 400 syllables, and if you also include tones, you will get to something like 1,000. And the reason it isn't 4 times 4 is because that some syllables don't come with certain tones. 1,000 syllables sounds a lot, but English has maybe 10 times as many possible syllables. The next reason why words in Chinese sound similar is the one I mentioned, lack of experience and exposure, meaning that if you merge certain sounds or you don't hear the difference between them, naturally things will sound more similar than they would to a native speaker. If you find it difficult to distinguish the z, c, s, and zh, ch, sh, z, t, c, and u, u, and so on, then this will of course make listening comprehension harder as well, because some words that actually are different will sound the same. If you find aspiration hard to hear, maybe you will confuse zai, as in z-a-i, with cai, c-a-i. Just as you could imagine someone learning English not hearing the difference between either and ether if they can't distinguish the and the. Another example if someone is learning English would be to not be able to distinguish r and l, and there would then be many words such as raw and law that sound the same. I think it's interesting to note that while the limited number of sounds and limited number of ways of combining them make understanding spoken Mandarin harder, it actually makes it easier to speak because there simply are fewer sounds to deal with. And again, if you study Chinese for a while, you will have encountered most of the syllables you'll ever need, and you won't encounter some weird combination that you've never seen that you now need to pronounce. There are actually two more reasons why words might sound similar in Chinese, but I've decided to split them out into their own factors. So let's move on to number three, which is tones pose an extra challenge. I did already mention that not being able to distinguish certain sounds clearly makes listening harder, but the best example of this is not to mix up Z and C, as I just mentioned, but rather to not hear tones, or at least not hear all the tones reliably. If you were to be completely unable to hear tones, the number of syllables would drop from 1,000, as we said, to about 400, and clearly then many words will sound identical even though they're not. As mentioned in my guide to tones, link in the show notes, this is a little bit like not hearing the length of vowels when listening to English, so words like live and live might sound the same, and this is indeed quite common for Chinese speakers. The good news here is that you can learn to hear new speech sounds, including tones, as an adult. It might not be easy at first, but systematic exposure over time, listening to different people speaking and being able to connect this with the correct tones, will help. You can also rely on exaggeration, so someone exaggerates the tones so you hear the difference, and then they gradually make them less exaggerated and you can maintain your ability to distinguish them. This is something I have covered extensively in other episodes and articles, so I'll put links in the show notes. Moving on to number four, which also contributes to words sounding the same, is Mandarin has short words with lots of information per syllable. I think that beginner language learners tend to think that languages that have long words are harder to learn than those that have short words. And this seems to be self-evident when you're learning to speak and write, because clearly trying to say something long is harder than saying something short. So if we were to compare the words environmentally friendly with the Chinese word huanbao, the English word is of course scarier, assuming that you don't have a background in a similar language, say you're a space alien or something. As mentioned earlier though, when something is easier for production, so when speaking and writing, it usually means it's harder when listening and reading. So while words being short in Mandarin makes them easier to pronounce, it also means they are harder to understand when listening. And roughly 80% of all commonly used words in Mandarin have two syllables. And it goes without saying that if all words, let's just for the sake of argument say that all words are two-syllable words, you remove one factor that words can be different in, compared with, say, English, where words can have lots of different lengths and we don't have this strong preference for two-syllable words. So to understand environmentally friendly in English, we don't really need to hear all the details. We can just think, oh, is that a long word that starts like this and ends like this and the rest gets kind of squeezed in the middle. But we rarely can do that in Chinese, because if you ignore something in the middle, well, that's probably the key part of that syllable and so you're lost. An interesting thing to note though is that spoken language tends to include the same amount of information per unit time, so that's not strange after all. I mean, we have the same hardware, the same brains, so cognitively there are limits to how much information we can take in, and so it doesn't matter which language we use. However, this also means that if your language, on average, uses more syllables per word, it also means that these syllables will need to be spoken faster, which is also true. And this is, as I've said, a deep dive into listening comprehension, if you haven't figured that out by now. And I haven't included all the references and so in this spoken version of this article. So go to the written article on Hacking Chinese if you want references and further reading. Okay, moving on to number five. The necessity to rely more on context makes listening harder. Languages differ in how they encode information. So in some languages, lots of information is encoded on the word level, meaning that you can look at a word and get a good idea of the context in which it appears. For example, by how it's inflected, what prefixes, suffixes there are, and so on. This is also related to what I said earlier about syllables per unit time and how much information each syllable contains. And Mandarin, as we saw, has a lot of information per syllable. So if you recall, when we said environmentally friendly in Chinese, we only needed huanbao, which is four times shorter in terms of number of syllables. So it then follows that environmentally friendly carries less information per syllable. That was, of course, an extreme example, but this pattern is true in general. In languages like English that are less dense than Chinese, we then have more syllables, but we're still conveying the same amount of information. Another observation that goes in line with this is that English also has more redundancy in sentences than Mandarin does. This is even more true in French, but since this podcast is in English, we'll stick to that for examples here. So if we have the word her, we know that this is the object in a sentence without even seeing the sentence. So I love her and her I love both mean that there is a female person I love. We don't change that by changing the word order, and we know that her is the object by the way it looks. It's different from she, for example. We can also see by the way the verb is inflected that this is in present tense, otherwise it would have been loved. And we can also know, just by looking at the verb, that it's not third person, because then it would have been loves. Let's look at one more example in English before we turn to Chinese. So in the sentence, the neighbor's dog bit me yesterday, there is a lot of redundancy. We know, for example, that it's past tense, not just by bit, which is past tense, but also from the fact that we have yesterday in the sentence. So we could technically gotten rid of one of them and still convey the same information. If I'm saying this to my friend who knows that my neighbor has a ferocious dog, I don't need to say the neighbor's dog either. I mean, the definite article is kind of understood here. So we could just have said neighbor's dog bit me yesterday, and this would have been fine. The main takeaway here is that this redundancy makes the language easier to understand. You can miss the tense of the verb and still understand that it happened yesterday, because yesterday was included, or you can do the opposite. Or if you don't know the word order that well, but you hear her, you know that that is the object. Mandarin, on the other hand, has much less redundancy, and this makes listening harder. So let's look at a few things that are encoded in English on the word level, but isn't encoded on the word level in Chinese. So the first one is that we have no tenses. So 我昨天学中文 means I studied Chinese yesterday. But if we move the time to today, I could then say 我今天学中文. And we can also move it to tomorrow and so on. But the point is that 学 here remains exactly the same. We don't inflect it based on when this thing took place. Next up, we have no articles. We don't need an indefinite article and say a person, or a definite article to say the person. We just say person. So in English, a person and the person convey slightly different information about what is already known. Because we tend to use the definite article when it's something known, the person, you know who it is, compared to a person when you don't know who it is, and this is the new information I want to convey. Let's look at an example and see how that compares with Chinese. And the English translation here is a little bit weird because I want to show something in Chinese rather than in English, but bear with me. So if we say a person has arrived compared to the person has arrived, in the first case, the thing we want to indicate is that someone has arrived. We don't know who, it's just a person. We didn't expect this maybe, or we don't point to a specific someone we expected. But if we say the person has arrived, it assumes that we have mentioned this person before, or at least that the listener knows whom we're referring to. This is not encoded in the same way in Chinese, and while you can use words like 这个 and 那个 and so on to make this type of pointing to specific things, word order is more often used to indicate this. So in Chinese then, we tend to put known information, the topic, at the beginning of the sentence, and then we add something we want to say about this thing, the comment, at the end of the sentence. So if we have the two sentences 人来了 and 来了人, both these are grammatical, but they convey slightly different information, just like a person has arrived and the person has arrived did. The first case where we had 人来了, we have the known information, the 人 first, and this means that this is more akin to the English the, meaning that we're pointing to a specific person that was probably known in advance here. However, if somebody says 来了人, this is more like a general indication that someone has arrived at the door maybe and we don't know who it is. It is not pointing to a specific person. Next up, parts of speech are harder to tell apart in Mandarin. So for example, in English we can add ly to adjectives to form adverbs. So we have narrow, that's an adjective, and then we have narrowly, which is an adverb. And you can hear that just by the way it's said. And while this is certainly not always the case, you can still often identify the parts of speech simply by how the word is inflected or what it sounds like. You can do that in Chinese, but in comparison it's very rare. In some cases, we even have words that can act as many parts of speech at once, and there are indeed linguists who think that parts of speech really isn't something that should be applied to Chinese at all. Just to mention one example, bing can be a noun, so ice. It can also be an adjective, to be ice cold, or it can be a verb, to cool something with ice or to feel cold. And the point then here is that if we did this in English, you could say ice, you could say icy, or you could say put something on ice. But all these sound different because they are different parts of speech. Sure, you could ice something as well, and then the pronunciation would be the same as for the noun, but this is more of an exception in English, whereas in Chinese this happens all the time. The next thing that Chinese doesn't really do that English does is there is no spoken difference between she and he. If I say 她有10个学生, you don't know if it's a female or a male teacher. Finally, Mandarin doesn't care that much about plural. So 我是学生 means I am a student, and 他有十个学生 means he has 10 students, but in both these cases, the student sounds exactly the same. We don't say students in the second case because there are more than one. As I've mentioned a few times, this seems great when you first start learning Chinese because this makes speaking and writing easier. You don't need to care about gender, you don't need to know if it's definite or indefinite article, you don't need to inflect verbs, you don't need to memorize verb tables, and so on. Indeed, when you ask high school students, at least here in Sweden, why they are learning Chinese, many of them actually say because they don't want to learn German or French because they've heard it's so hard to remember all the verb inflections and the grammar is too difficult and so on. So yes, this does make Mandarin easier to speak, but it also makes it harder to understand when somebody else speaks. It makes listening comprehension more difficult. The reason for this is that all this information that I just mentioned, so definite indefinite article, when something happens, i.e. tense, and gender, number, and so on, these things need to be deduced based on context, because you can't just get them immediately from the way someone speaks or the way they inflect the words that they use. As I mentioned with the neighbor's dog that bit me yesterday sentence earlier, we don't need to inflect the verb to know that it's yesterday, because the word yesterday was included. And if I talk about my neighbor with a friend, I don't need to specify if ta means he or she, if my friend already knows this or if it's not relevant. But this information is still something that the listener might need to keep in mind when listening. The thing that makes this cognitively quite demanding for second language learners is that the information that is needed to understand when something happens, for example, is not necessarily included in every sentence. So if I'm talking about something that happened yesterday, I might say yesterday blah blah blah, and then I just assume that you remember that I'm talking about yesterday. So in Chinese we only use 昨天 once here, not in every single sentence. In English, however, you would be reminded that this happens in the past every time I use a verb, because I will inflect it in the past tense to let you know that it happened yesterday. And you can imagine this being easier as a listener, because you get reminded of this all the time, whereas in Chinese you need to keep track of this. Now, if Mandarin is your first language, this is not a problem. You understand everything being said, and you know very well that this is a story about something that happened in the past. Or you know that the ta mentioned is a he or she, if that's relevant, or whatever it happens to be. But as second language learners, we often miss things. So maybe you missed some key information earlier in the listening passage that would have given you clues to what something later means. And it's hard to apply your top-down processing and listening strategies if you've missed key information about the context. So to summarize what I've been saying here, when listening to Mandarin, context is very important. And it's important when listening to English too, of course. Top-down processing is necessary in all languages. But in Chinese, we need to rely on context more, because much of the information that is encoded in words in English simply isn't in Mandarin. Okay, let's move on to the sixth reason why listening in Chinese is hard. Formal Chinese is even more concise and dense. So I've already discussed that words in Mandarin tend to be short and therefore contain a lot of information and little redundancy. But this is even more true with written formal Chinese, and the most extreme case would be classical Chinese, where lots of words are simply one syllable instead of two. Now, this article is about listening comprehension, so you might wonder why I'm talking about written formal Chinese. But when you think about it, a lot of listening that we do is actually written down first and then read aloud. And so this type of listening is not based on the principles of spoken language, but rather those of written language. This can be true whether you're listening to a news broadcast, an audiobook, or a scripted dialogue. The first thing to note here is that this type of Mandarin is much harder to understand than naturally spoken Mandarin, because it contains even less redundancy than spoken language does. A good example of this is abbreviations. So in written Chinese, there are sometimes longer words that get contracted to shorter words, and this is often obvious in writing, or at least easier to see in writing, because the characters are unique or convey more meaning than the syllables do. But if you're not familiar with these contractions in spoken language, they can be very hard to understand. So for example, instead of writing 中国和美国, so that would be China and the United States, just write 中美. And instead of writing 经济贸易, as in economy and trade, just write 经贸. And finally, instead of writing 科学研究, as in scientific research, just write 科研. Like I said, if you're used to hearing these contractions, that is fine. And if you see them in writing, you will probably be able to guess what they mean. But if you just hear 科研, 经贸, or 中美, without being aware that these contractions exist, this will be quite hard. And maybe in the context you can still figure out what it means, especially something like 中美, if they're talking about international relations or different countries, then maybe this is fine. But you can see how this adds a lot of burden to the listener. You need to process this and deal with these types of very dense and concise expressions. Fortunately, you can just wait with this type of listening practice until you feel ready. Focus on things that are actually spoken language first. We have now reached the seventh and final reason why listening in Chinese is hard, and that is regional variants and accented Mandarin. This is something we talked about in detail in episode 46, so I will not say too much about it here because this episode is already long enough, but I will bring up some key points. China is a huge country with a huge population, so there's a lot of variation when it comes to language. And the words that we use when talking about language in China can be a little bit tricky. So when people say dialect, they usually refer to things like Cantonese, for example, or Hokkien, or some other dialect. And if you've only learned Mandarin, you will not be able to understand or speak these other dialects. If they were put in Northern Europe, they would certainly be considered different languages. I mean, Norwegian and Swedish is much, much closer than Mandarin and Cantonese. And the main reason is, of course, that a language is a dialect with an army and a navy. We don't really need to bring in Cantonese into a discussion of why listening comprehension in Mandarin is tricky, but I still think it's important to keep these dialects in mind because they influence how people in China speak Mandarin. And the majority of people don't speak Mandarin as their first language, and so when they speak Mandarin, they will borrow pronunciation, words, and so on from their dialects. And this definitely makes listening comprehension in Mandarin trickier. Anybody who has studied Chinese in a specific location and then tried out their skills somewhere else will have noticed this. So for example, if you learned your Mandarin in Taiwan and you then go to Beijing, you will find it hard to understand people. Or if you have been studying in Beijing the whole time and go to southern China, you will find it hard to understand people because they suddenly don't make a clear difference between zhi zhi shi and zi zi si and so on. I mentioned earlier in this episode, and we talked a lot about that in part 2 of this series, that if you cannot distinguish certain important sounds, listening comprehension becomes much harder. But here we have the opposite case, where someone speaking might not be able to differentiate these sounds. And like I said, zhi zhi shi and zi zi si is a good example. Some people pronounce them the same or almost the same, or some just make the difference much smaller than you're used to. Other people might mix up F and H, N or L, and so on. And all these things can throw off your listening and can make processing the spoken language significantly harder. A bonus challenge here is that because of the size of both the country and the population, there are so many different accents around and you're unlikely to ever hear all of them. So that means that there is always something new to be thrown off by. Another way of seeing it, though, is of course that it's also a lot of linguistic diversity to experience, and I happen to think that this is rather interesting. This challenge is of course not limited to learning Chinese. When learning English, you also need to deal with lots of different dialects, and this is true when learning other world languages, too. So, that brings us to the end of this episode. I want to conclude by saying that no, it's not just you, listening in Chinese really is very hard. I realize that this is not very encouraging, but I strongly believe that in order to overcome something difficult, a challenge, we need to study it and we need to understand it and we need to be able to utilize what we have learned in order to make the challenge easier. This is what I've tried to do in this episode, but also what I've done in the previous parts in this series, so do check those out if you want more ideas for how to improve and make all of these things easier. Throughout this episode, I have occasionally mentioned other articles and episodes that deal with related topics, but since I didn't want to include too much of that, I've put most of the links in the show notes, and of course you can always check the written article on Hacking Chinese, which makes it much easier to find what you're looking for. Don't forget to check out my listening course at hackingchinese.com/courses. And in the meantime, I hope that this episode has given you valuable insights into why listening in Chinese is hard and helps you move beyond Tingbodong.
Thank you for tuning in to the Hacking Chinese podcast. If you like this episode, please share it. More information and inspiration about learning and teaching Chinese can be found at hackingchinese.com. See you in the next episode, and until then, good luck with your studies.